you remember that as I told you, 8 to 9 days of class on Rahas being reduced to 3 days. Yes. You are Guru Mantra. So the first reading we are doing together in the course. And the second reading you are supposed to do it on your own and then come back with questions. And in the third reading you are supposed to be able to debate with your teachers. That is the three readings. And then we are doing it in the three pairs. So you got a little bit of an idea yesterday when we did the avataras with at least one shloka. How we were reading it in layers. Like there is a first reading which is a literal translation, then you have a second reading and a third reading where by the time you are an expert you are able to analyze all the words and understand it. So actually the reading of the book is supposed to start with this chapter. This is the third chapter and it is supposed to start with this. So even in the first batch we did start with this. And you then come back to the first chapter in Avatara, that is Srishti. All the things about Vasudeva and Avatar, which we did. Why? Because those two are supposed to be a little bit more difficult. And what will you talk about Avatar unless you know about the grahas themselves? So you are supposed to do this, then go back and do chapter 1 and chapter 2, then go forward and then do chapter 4. That is the way it is done. So in the original thing, when you get your audios uploaded, you will see that avatar is below. It is not uploaded. Right after Shubharambha will be this. Grahas will be there. Because that is the way it was taught also. Alright. So when we are talking about Graha Guna Swarupa Adhyaya, we are going to start with the definition of Graha. What is a Graha? Graha is something that which does Grahana. Okay, what does grahana mean? Grahana means an eclipse, right?
Shielding of the light.
Yeah, shielding of the light, it is an eclipse. It's more than the shielding of the light, it is, yes, shielding of the light and then what happens, it's eclipsing. So they are sitting on your head and eclipsing your mind. Alright, so grahas are not only eclipsing you, they are actually acting as an enchanter. A little bit beyond what you are saying of shielding of the light. They come and enchant the mind. They come and grip your mind. They cast a spell on your mind. So that you are thinking and seeing and doing whatever that graha is telling you to do. Okay? You are doing whatever that graha is telling you to do. You are completely caught in that enchanted web of the graha. So, you know, you are like a small dust in a storm. You know, when you have a big storm, there's a dust storm, and you are a dust. So you are a tiny little dust particle, and you are caught up in that storm. So wherever the storm is moving, the dust particle is also being moving. So you are being carried by the wind. You are the dust particle being carried by the wind. So you actually have no control over your say, no control over anything. Wherever the storm is taking you, wherever the wind is blowing you, you are being blown. Alright, this is what the graha does to your mind. Completely enchants you. Completely tells you what you think. So this is what? It's a kind of bondage, isn't it? You are not a free person. You don't have any freedom. You are being going wherever the wind or the storm is taking you. So you are in a bondage, a bandhana. What kind of a bandhana is this? It's a graha bandhana. So we are all caught up in this graha bandhana, all of us in our lives. This is the biggest bandhana of all. So now the question arises, how do we get rid of this bandhana? How do we come out of it? So now there can be two ways of doing it. One is you can pray to God, and you can pray to Shiva and say that please give me strength. Give me strength so that I may cut this bondage. So Shiva is supposed to be Balarama. So the strength or Bala comes from Shiva. Okay, he will give you that strength to cut it. It is not easy to cut it. It is very difficult to cut this bondage. So the other method can be the method of purity. So this is the method of strength. And the other method is the method of purity. So what is the method of purity? In the method of purity, you are going to God. You are going to God and you are telling God that please, I can't handle this. So why don't I'm coming to you and you please cut the bondage for me. That is the path of purity. That is the path of Vishnu. So in everything we have this two paths of strength and purity. That is the path of Shiva and the path of Vishnu. So there are only these two ways that we can actually get rid of this bondage of the graha. So you know, Buddha did not have any physical strength. Alright, Buddha did not have any physical strength. But there was this, you know the story of this mad elephant which has charged onto Buddha. And this mad elephant, when it charged onto Buddha, all Buddha did was this. And the elephant stopped and bowed down to him. So basically, these are all, everything of this is just a body. So all that you are supposed to do is look at them as bodies, and you are supposed to, with your mind, control them. But our mind is not under our control. That is the whole issue. Our mind is under the control of the grahas. If we can rise above and cut the bondage and have the mind of our own, then every being would just be a body, whether it's a lion or a tiger or a person or a dog. And we would be able to command that body to stop and make them sit down and do japa. But we can't do that. So another example of how this grahas act on us as enchanters. Suppose through this door, a very huge, burly, muscled, he-man kind of person enters. Somebody like a double Schwarzenegger. Okay, so what would you say when he enters? Would you say, oh, he's humble like Buddha? He is, you will not say that, right? What will you say? You said, oh my God, look at his muscles. How big is he? How tough is he? My God, he must be able to pick up 10 elephants. These are the thoughts which will come into your mind. You will not think that, oh, he's humble and, you know, he's going to sit down and japa over here. You will not think that. But has he told you to look at his muscles? He hasn't. It is you who are automatic. It is you and not him. The fault is not with him. He has not said, look, I'm a he-man. I'm not a humble person like Buddha. Come, I've entered. You must look at my muscles. He has not said that. We are doing that. Our mind is automatically seeing him, perceiving and observing him like this huge, hefty person with muscles. And we are noticing that. Why the mind is automatically seeing things, what the grahas who have captured our minds are training us to see. You understand? So everything that we are seeing, everything that we are perceiving, everything that we are doing, we are under the bondage of the grahas. So now when we are talking about that there are two ways to cut this bondage, that the cutting of the bondage is either through strength or through purity. We all know about the strength of the planets, but we don't really look at the purity of planets, do we? We have not learned to study, we have not studied to learn to look at the purity of them, but that is what we are going to do in Jyotish. Not only look at strengths of planets, but also to look at the purity of planets. Okay? This is not coming. You all have the slide in front of you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so we are going to read this shloka. Kathitam bhavata prena.
Kathitam bhavata prena.
Grahavataranam mune.
Grahavataranam mune.
Tesham gunaswarupadhyam.
Tesham gunaswarupadhyam.
Kripaya kathatya puna.
Kripaya kathatya puna.
Before I go into this, in the previous slide, you saw that the name of the chapter was Graha Guna Swarupa Adhyaya. So basically the other three words are very simple. Guna means the quality. Swarupa is the form in which we see them. And Adhyaya means chapter. Okay. So what is here, the Maitreya is asking Parashara that, O sage, you have affectionately explained about the planetary incarnations. Alright. Now tell us about the characters and dispositions of these planets. So Parashara replies that, Brahmin, listen to me, that I will now give you an idea or an account of the placement of the heavenly bodies. So the word that we are going to pick up over here is Graha Avataran we've done. So the next line that Parashara has replied, which I can read, was Srinu Vipra Pravakshami. Ha grahana paristitam. Okay, so you know, vipra means Brahmin, which is saying that, O Brahmin, listen, I am now going to speak about the positions of ha grahana. So now what we are going to do, we are going to be studying these details about ha grahana. Okay, there's one more thing that I want to, just before going into this, there's one more point that I wanted to miss out when I talked about the first slide, before I go into the placement of the grahas. We talked about the grahas doing this bondage or the eclipse of the mind, enchanting our mind. Eclipsing by blocking the light, yes, but we took it a step forward to say they just don't eclipse it, but they enchant your mind and they tell you what to think, and this is a bondage called graha bandhana. So another point in that is that these grahas are put in a decimal system from 0 to 9. Alright, what is this decimal system? The planets which have bodies are those that can be weighed. Now what does this mean? And planets which don't have a body cannot be weighed. So when we have numbers like 1, 2, 3 or 4, these are quantifiable numbers, right? I can say that this bottle of water has about a liter of water in it, right? I can pick up a bag of your this and I can say that bag, your kit bag, weighs 2 kgs. It has notebooks and textbooks and books in it. It weighs 2 kgs. I can pick up all your handouts and say this weighs 3 kgs. Okay? So whether it's the water weighing a kilo, whether your books, handouts weighing 3 kilos or your kit bag weighing 2 kilos, we are all able to quantify. These are all numbers which are all very quantifiable. We can see them, we can measure them. But what happens when there is no weight? When we cannot quantify, when there is no weight, then it becomes a shunya. Shunya means a zero. A zero is a shunya, meaning that is something that we cannot weigh, that we cannot measure. So what is that in the chart? So from 1 to 9 are the Navagrahas, which we are going to now discuss. We are going to discuss about what they look like and the characteristics, position. It's a huge thing that we are going to do. But what is that shunya? What is that zero which cannot be quantified? That is the lagna. The lagna is the shunya or the zero, because a lagna is something that cannot be quantified. That's why it is always navagraha plus lagna. Navagraha and shunya, that is lagna. Okay. Now, what about bodies such as Rahu and Ketu? Do Rahu and Ketu have physical bodies?
No.
They don't have physical bodies. So, what would they be? Would they be shunyas? No, they are not shunyas. They do have bodies. They don't have physical bodies, but they have astral bodies. Alright, they have something called an astral body. So now, what? This is a hint for in Jyotish. You are going to study a variety of bodies which don't have physical bodies, but they have astral bodies. Okay? There's a whole lot of points, whole lot of different kind of lagnas, different kind of, you know, all these things that you people learned in 2P, all your varnadas and all these. Do they have physical bodies? They don't, right? What you studied, yes, is such a tangible thing. They all have astral bodies. A lot of these points will have astral bodies. Then you will learn about a variety of lagnas as well. But lagna pure, as you see, that is a shunya. Okay? So now know that there is a shunya which is lagna, which is shunya pita. That is why lagna is known as satya pita. And then you have these quantifiable, visible, physical bodies, 1 to 9, which are your navagrahas. Alright? Then you have bodies which are not physical bodies, like Rahu Ketu, but they are astral bodies. Okay? Rahu and Ketu are just two bodies, as I said, you know of, but you are going to learn about more bodies which are astral bodies. Okay? So, what we are talking about, when we are talking about this physical bodies and astral bodies, we are again coming back to that concept of strength and impurity. Remember I told you that bondages of grahas can be cut through either strength or through purity. Right? Either you go to God and say, cut my bondage, or you ask God to give you strength so that you can cut it yourself. Right? Strength and purity. These are the two things. So when we are talking about these physical bodies and astral bodies, we are again talking about strength and purity out here. These are again to do with notions of strength and impurity. Depending on how much impurity there is and how much strength there is, depending on that, the bodies are going to be astral or physical. For example, you have this huge chapter, which is a section, which is part of the grahas, which was taught to you over 2 days in the first year. You get 1 day over here for that. That is known as all your aprakasha grahas and upagrahas. Very important bodies. They are not physical bodies at all. They are not physical bodies. But there is this whole bunch of grahas that we do with, which are known as upagrahas and aprakasha grahas. Aprakasha means that which does not have light and you cannot see. And they have a huge impact on our lives. You will see how much chaos and havoc they can create in our lives. So these are all astral bodies. So you are going to be studying all of that. The whole purpose for you to draw your attention is that when we are talking about bodies, it is not just these navagrahas and lagna, but we are going to talk about a whole variety of astral bodies. We are going to talk about a variety of lagnas, variety of points. And all of this has a huge impact in your life. And Parashara has given a lot of stress on them. He has devoted chapter after chapter on these things. Okay? So, then I did talk to you about the muscle man which came in, because as I said, that is our mind. That our mind is seeing him as the muscle man and his muscles, and mind is not seeing, maybe he's a very spiritual being who's very humble, but we are not seeing that. We are seeing the physical body. Our mind is only grasping that physical body.
Because
whatever's there in our mind is only able to see that. Our mind is guided by the grahas. So he is not telling us, he see that, but we are seeing that. That is what we, maybe one of you may say, oh no, I saw that he had very kind eyes. Maybe one of the students would see that. But overall, this is what you would notice. If some Mr. Universe walks in, that is what you are going to notice. My God, look at his biceps, look at his muscles, look at this, isn't it? So it is that physicality, the physical body is catch the, it's very easy to grasp that. Our minds, which are gripped by the grahas, will make us notice the physical bodies. The more physical it is, the more impure it is. That factor is also very much there. It is the astrals which we don't catch up to also. Okay? It is the astral bodies that we cannot see. So as we said that the moment we can tame the mind, that like Buddha did, the elephant was such a huge big elephant and Buddha did not have muscles. Did Buddha have muscles? No. He was a sadhu kind of a person, right, eventually. He was not a muscled he-man. So how did he stop that huge elephant? Just by, through the mind. That means his mind was cut from the bondages of the grahas. This is the point that I'm trying to make. His mind was not enchanted by the grahas. His mind was not in graha bandhana. He had the capacity, he himself had the purity of mind or the strength of mind to cut the bondages that he had through the path he led. That is why when the elephant came, he could just do this and he could stop the elephant. So there was no fear of the size. He was not scared of the elephant. We are scared of the elephant and the elephant size because of the bondages in our mind which the grahas are doing that. That is why we are getting scared. Hence, if we become like Buddha and we are able to cut the bondages of the grahas, if a lion comes in front of us or a tiger comes in front of us, we are not supposed to be scared. Fear is from the bondage. We would be able to do this and make the lion sit down and make the lion go jump. That is what is the point that we are trying to say. But that point only comes when we are able to cut off the bondages. So the point that is being made that these bondages of grahas are phenomenal. We are huge. We are completely enslaved by them. And we are thinking, we are looking, we are seeing, we are doing whatever these grahas are making us do. Get the point? Whatever the grahas is telling us to do, we are doing. Hey, that's a muscle man, be careful. He can give you a punch in the jaw. Hey, that's a lion coming, be careful. Everything, the fear, the perceptions, everything. So we are just what puppets in the hands of the grahas. That is the definition of the grahas as we get to understand. That is the meaning of calling a grahana. Okay?
So that is why, yeah. If the saints are there, they say ki, they have moved beyond the grahas. So the horoscope is actually not.
Yes, true. Correct. Correct. He's very, not only the horoscope, what he said is that people who are very, did you get his point? The people who are very well-known saints, very big saints, we often say that the horoscopes often don't have much meaning. You can read that much in the horoscope and not beyond. Because they have been able to conquer and rise above the grahas. So we can try, because you will see across the years, you will be doing charts of saints a lot. And when we are doing charts of saints, we can say, oh, okay, you know, so Ramana Maharishi was Mona and he was associated with Agni Linga, or Sri Thakur Param Ramakrishna was associated with Kali. See, this graha over here shows that. Swamiji's thing, this shows this. But beyond the point, the greater divinity, well, you can. The more you go into spiritual studies of Jyotish, we try and struggle and get it. But yeah, they are able to conquer all the grahas. And beyond that, even amongst us ordinary people, those who follow spiritual, are spiritual and do their spiritual practices, you will see that the dashas will not affect them so badly. There are some people who are completely controlled by dasha. You will say, my God, Saturn in dasha, and they have a bad Saturn in the chart. They're completely gone. Oh, bad Rahu, they are completely gone. But there are a lot of people, I'm sure many of you have seen this in your lives. There may be people who are in your families or amongst your friends who may be, you know, just following their spiritual practices very strongly and quite religiously, quite diligently. You will see that bad dasha is not so bad. They will tide it through. Maybe in a bad Saturn dasha, maybe something brilliant may not happen, but neither will they have an accident or lose a limb. People do that in these bad Satindashas. People have accidents and lose limbs. Maybe these people, nothing will happen to them, nothing will touch their body. They will continue with their life as it is, their work, everything, nothing bad will happen. Maybe they will not reach the heights if that dasha is supposed to be bad. But nothing untoward will also happen. And these are living examples. I'm sure we have seen this. I'm sure you have seen this in your lives also. This is where the more spiritual practice you do, the more japa you do, the more mantras you do. Mantras tend to control the mind. And then that helps to tidy over. Why are mantras given as remedies? See, we were talking about, I think, hinting about this yesterday, that even in Brihat Parashara Hora Shastra, you will see that he's talking about mantras and remedies. Stones are not really given. Graha Pujas, we talked about worshipping avatars. Remember, so like avatars, we have other deities also. Besides deities, we can identify from your horoscopes. You know, if you really have some very bad guy out there giving you a lot of trouble, we then say, okay, what is the specific form? This is the specific form. Oh, I might say that is a form of a Mahavidya. You better worship the Divine Mother in this particular way. When you do that, you are coming out. It is not a question of appeasing. Average astrologers will say, oh, we've appeased the graha. We're not talking about appeasing the graha. You are really reaching out to the higher part that we talked about yesterday. They are all incarnations. You are reaching out to that. When you are reaching out to that, it is that part of the graha which will have a greater influence on your mind. The negative parts of the graha are not going to have an influence on your mind. And enchant it. We don't want the enchanting effect of the graha on the mind. So mantra can prevent that. From grahas enchanting your mind and giving bandhana. And those, as you pointed out, are, you know, very great saints. They are actually able to cut those bondages. They've gone much before. They are actually able to cut the bondages and do what they want with their life. We talked about saints. When you do Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna's chart, you will see that in his chart so many planets are exalted in beautiful places. So look at the life he led. Did he lead a kingly life? He didn't lead a kingly life. The grahas were under his control. It goes for all saints from whichever path of life or whichever religion they might come to. The greater the saints are, they are able to cut the bondages. That is when they can do whatever they want. You know, you heard about the concept of Ichha Mrityu, right? Self-desired death. That when a person desired, they would die at the point. They are able to do that simply because they have cut the bandhanas. So the greatest bandhanas are given by the grahas. Okay? So now we come to this part where we are talking about the bhagrahana, the next slide, into initiation. Where Maitreya is telling Parashara, please tell us about the characteristics of the graha. And the word that we are picking out from here is bhagrahana. Grahanam. So what does bha mean? What does bha mean?
Bha chakra.
Yeah, bha is bha chakra, it means the zodiac. Right? When you study the class on bhavas, you will learn, has this thing come?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want somebody to be just a little bit, will it open on its own or you have to?
Power.
That's Akshat.
Huh? Power?
Akshat.
Yeah. Akshat will be, yes. When it comes, please power it on. I've done it, but next time, please. Yeah.
She's asking for me.
Yeah, please. So, the thing is that bhagrahanam. Remember we learnt yesterday. Now let's get back to the shloka. Ready? Settle up. Let's get back to the shloka. We learnt yesterday that in our second reading, in our deeper reading, we will pick up the words. Right? So the word that we are going to pick up is bha grahanam because that's the only word he is using here. So bha grahanam, bha means the zodiac or the bha chakra. Bha chakra is a zodiac. The bhavas come from the bha chakra. So what is this zodiac is he talking about? He is talking about the geocentric zodiac. That is, you are having actually the earth in the center because I am in the earth. So I am in the earth and all the other planets are moving around me. This is the geocentric zodiac. This is what he is calculating over here. Now you can have other centric zodiacs also. You can have heliocentric zodiac, right? What is a heliocentric zodiac? So the sun in the middle with all the planets around it. This is what we have learned in science. But for the calculation of the planets, what Parashara has used is a geocentric zodiac. Now, what happens if tomorrow we have a colony in Mars? And if we go in Mars, you have, Natalia, you settle in Mars and you have a baby in Mars. So how will you as an astrologer cast the horoscope of your baby? You will do it a Mars-centric zodiac. Then Mars will be the center with all the planets going around it. This is what he meant by being geocentric. Where you are, from there you will calculate everything. The difference that will happen is that in your planets, scheme of planets, Mars will not be there anymore. Like the way we don't have Earth. So Mars will not there be anymore in that chart, in the Navagrahas. Earth will probably come into that. Okay, similarly, if you go to Jupiter, and in Jupiter somebody has a baby, and you have a baby in Jupiter, then the same thing, Jupiter would be made the center and the planets will be calculated around it, but there will be no Jupiter in the chart of that baby. There will be Earth and other planets and everything. So it will be a Jupiter-centered chart. In Mars, it will be a Mars-centered chart. So what will happen in the order of the planets will change. Okay? So this is the geocentered chakra that he is talking about. The concept is coming. Do you know about the concept? We talked a lot about Nrisimhadeva yesterday. So can anyone tell me how was Nrisimhadeva born? Yes, Lana. Out of the column, pillar, out of the pillar. So, just in two lines, there was a demon Hiranyakashipu who told this great devotee of Narayana Prahlad that I don't believe in your God, and he says, yes, if I call Narayana, he will appear right now, and he challenged him, and when he did it, then there was a pillar over there because it was in the palace, and so Narayana broke the pillar and appeared to keep his devotee Prahlad's word. And he appeared in the form of half lion, half man. So was he born in the pillar? He was not born in the pillar. He was born somewhere else. But he appeared in the pillar. Okay? He was born somewhere else. He was born in Pisces Lagna, incidentally. He was born in Pisces Lagna with Mars in the Lagna. So Bhagrahanam is very simply wherever the person is born, that will be the center. That is the way we draw the zodiac. Now, when we draw the zodiac, when we take the star Chitra, you know the star Chitra?
Yes.
You know what it is called in English? Chitra? It is called, yes, it is called Spica in English. So, we take the star Chitra and we take the exact opposite point. And in that exact opposite point will be the first mansion of your nakshatra. So, when we take geocentered, when we take the Earth, our zodiac, and we take Chitra, and we take the exact opposite point, that is 0 degrees Mesha. It is 0 degrees Mesha in the constellation of Aries. So, our first mansion begins from there. Now, if you go to Mars, okay, where Natalia is going to have a baby and she casts the horoscope, you will have to take, again, Chitra. But when you take the opposite point from Chitra, it may not be 0 degrees Mesha. It will be a different constellation. From Earth, the opposite point of Chitra Nakshatra is 0 degrees Mesha. But the zodiac is moving, the constellations are placed differently. So if you are calculating from Mangal, you are living in Mangal and you are calculating from a Mangal-centered thing, and you take Chitra Nakshatra, the opposite point will be some other constellation. Whatever that constellation will be the first house over there in Mars. That will be the Kalpurusha for Mangal.
Why? Mangal has three stars, so why are we only taking Chitra as a starting point? We can take.
No, we take Chitra. There is a big debate as to why we use Chitra. Yeah. It's not Mangal. We are taking Chitra. It happens that the opposite point is Mangal, Aries. You are starting from Aries. We are not starting from Aries. Starting point is always Chitra. Alright? That is why it is we call Chitra Paksha Ayanamsha. The Chitra Paksha Ayanamsha concept has come from that. We start from Chitra, we are not starting from Aries. 0 degrees Mesha or constellation of Aries happens to be the 7th from Chitra, hence it is our first house. For her in Mars, when you take Chitra and calculating the planets from the Mars-centered zodiac, the 7th house from Chitra will not be Aries. It will be some other constellation. And that other constellation will become the first house of the Kalpurusha or the natural zodiac of Mangal. Because the moment we are calculating from the planet-centered zodiac, your whole calculations are changing. Follow Dravi? No? Yes. So in Jupiter, yes, Siddhi.
Why calculating her from Mars?
As an example, I can calculate yours from Jupiter. What Parashara is saying, that the calculations will have to be centered in the planet. So when we are here in Earth, our calculation is geocentered and not heliocentered for calculation of this. We calculate the planets from geocentered, from our position here on Earth. Here is where we are born. Alright? And from Spika, Chitra Paksha, there is a whole thing about Chitra Paksha, why Chitra is important. From Chitra, we take this exact opposite, which happens to be in Mesha, in this geocentered zodiac. Where I just gave her an example. If she has in Mars, then for her baby, she will calculate everything from a Mars-centered. All the planets will be calculated. So Mars will not exist as a planet in her Navagrahas. It will be, Earth probably will be there. And from there, the 7th point from Chitra will be some other constellation, not Mesha. That will be the first house, the natural Kalpurusha, what you know. The natural Kalpurusha, then from that planet, will be that called constellation. Similarly, if you go to Jupiter, it will be different. Yeah.
From the perspective of Earth, the 0 degrees Chitra happens to land 0 degrees Mesha.
No, the opposite, exact opposite point of Chitra is 0 degrees Mesha.
Exact opposite point.
We take the exact opposite point of Chitra for all the calculations.
Now, if it was Mars, would it happen to also be 0 degrees of another Rashi sign? Or it could be any degrees within any Rashi sign?
No, any degrees in any Rashi sign.
Would be even the start of that.
Yeah, sign. Yeah, we can take zero, we are just saying zero. It can be anywhere.
But for
we don't
us,
know.
It's quite a coincidence that it happens to be
0 degrees Aries, yes. It is 0 degrees also because exact point of Chitra that you are taking, it is probably matching into 0 degrees. So mainly the constellation is what we are looking at over here. So the constellation will not be Aries for Mars. That is what we are trying to say. Constellation will be some other constellation which will be the natural first house of that, all the charts of all the babies born in Mars. The Chitra thing is, that is something I hope Guruji will talk to you about. If you read Brihat Nakshatra, there is a whole section on that why Chitra is taken. Okay, there is a huge debate, there is a lot of debate on that. Even in Western astrology, they follow Spika. The whole Ayanamsha, it is to do with the Ayanamsha. You know the position of the equinox?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
The precession of the equinox, you know about the Ayanamsha? It is to do with the Ayanamsha also. Hence, we take that Chitra. So, the people who are not following the Chitra Paksha Ayanamsha, they are following other Ayanamsha, then that's why their calculations of the whole thing is different. So, it is to do with the equinox also, the Ayanamsha, and we take Chitra for that. There is more to it. This is basically an astronomical thing that we take, which is related to the precession of the equinox. And more on that. So you can read that in Brihat Nakshatra. I think there is a lot of that in it. Why Chitra? So Chitra is a very, very... So we call Chitra Paksha Ayanamsha. When we use this Ayanamsha, this calculation that we take into account, it is taken into account with this equinox. This Chitra Paksha Ayanamsha, and it is calculated from Chitra. Yeah.
I could not understand one minute. Chitra, yes, take the exact opposite from Chitra. Chitra is a fixed.
Yeah.
And whatever that opposite is.
Opposite, it comes into Aries constellation for us.
This is fixed, and that opposite is also fixed. Huh. Now we are seeing from at the Earth center, we are calculating from Chitra. Even if you go to some other see Jupiter or this one. But these are all fixed.
No, the Ayanamsha, no. Chitra we are calculating because of the Ayanamsha also. So over there, that whole thing will change. You have to read about Ayanamsha. It's a very important thing. See, moment you are going into Mars and you are doing Mars-centered calculation, the whole structure of the thing will change. You will have to take into all consideration regarding Mars. You have to take Mars as Ayanamsha. How do you know that Mars has Ayanamsha issue? We have an Ayanamsha issue because the Earth is wobbling. Because the Earth is wobbling. We have that correction of that 23 degrees or 22 point whatever degrees precision thing to make. Even here the Western astrologers didn't make it. So many of us, one group of astrologers didn't make it. We are checking that. In Sagittarius Zodiac we take that. We have a whole group of astrologers here in Earth who didn't take that. We are taking the equinox, the precision of the equinox into question. That is why this whole calculation of tropical and sidereal zodiac, Sayana Chakra, Nirayana Chakra is coming in because of this.
Because the magnetic field is different.
Of course, the Earth is wobbling on its axis and it's shifting. It's because of that we have this. We've taken. Now you have heard of tropical zodiac. Tropical zodiac does not take the precession of the equinox. So the entire chart that is cast is different. Moment you are taking the precision of the equinox in, the chart you are casting is different. So you must know about Sayana and Nirayana Chakra. And it is to do with astronomy. Now when you go into Mars, what is the Mars situation? See, it becomes Mars centric then. What is the situation over there? So it is an astronomical issue. So in that astronomical issue, because of that, the zodiac placement will change. And that opposite point of Spica will not be Aries constellation. It can be some other constellation, yes.
We are referring from Chitta, that is a constellation.
Yes.
And on the other side we are referring to a Rashi. Sign, right? Rashi.
Yes, 0 degrees Mesha actually, that we get is 0 degrees Mesha, which falls into Aries constellation.
Okay.
Yeah. We are not discussing, again, you know, I am telling you, we are not discussing this. If we are going to go into discussing this now, then we are going to discuss this till 1 o'clock. We are not discussing this. I am telling you this is the reason. So now you want to know the precise thing about the astronomical details, about the whole thing about the equinox and the Ayanamshas. So you must make a study. People are still studying Ayanamshas. There is so much of debate going on about Ayanamsha. Everybody is coming up with their own Ayanamsha. You open Jayapura, there will be some 8 options of Ayanamsha over there. People are creating their own Ayanamshas because of this thing. It is 0 degrees Mesha that we are getting. And 0 degrees Mesha happens to be in the constellation of Aries. When we do the calculations over there and we do it from Chitra, it will not be 0 degrees of Mesha. We don't know what the situation in Mars is. We don't even know whether there is a precision you need to take and you need to take, what is that thing, we don't know. So that is what they are saying. He's saying it has to be centered from the planet where you are born in. That is the point he's making, that is the point I'm telling you. He's saying you do not take a heliocentered calculation, you take a centered from where you are born. And if you have a colony in Mars, your great grandchildren may go and live in Mars, you have to pass on the knowledge to them that listen, don't take this ephemeris. Alright? The calculation over there will be different because it will have to be Mangal centric. Because this is an astronomical issue that is coming in. So the casting of the chart will be different. That is the point we are making. Very simple, actually it's not a difficult point.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So for now, what Ayanamsha we should take? Chitrapaksha?
Yeah, we use Chitrapaksha.
And there is traditional and true. What is it?
So we take 0 degrees, 0, that is the true, exactly. true Chitrapaksha we take, exact, yeah. They do, sometimes Guruji has used a little bit of correction, sometimes he does. In books you've seen, he does sometimes. But when we are setting the default preferences in our softwares, he uses Chitrapaksha, and he's told all of us also to use Chitrapaksha. He will tell all of you also to use that, the true Chitrapaksha. He's using that. When he's reading your charts or whatever, he is using that. But sometimes maybe for studying of some things, he has done this calculation. It is a difficult thing.
Yeah,
it disturbs a lot. Of course, it disturbs the placement of the planets. I have my Mangal is in 0 degree 0 minute, because even with the same Ayanamsha, all of you know this, even with the same Ayanamsha, if the software is not calculating this Ayanamsha properly, my Mars gets shifted to a different sign and I'll be a different human being. My Mars will become Atmakaraka in Mesha. Totally different. So everything can change, the whole game can change. So it's difficult. Okay? So even softwares don't calculate the Ayanamshas properly. You must be aware. You must be very, very much aware. We are all the time aware. Yeah, in Sri Jyoti star, my Mars goes
so
there.
Yes,
yes.
The software is more precise than you have to take, so.
Yeah, calculation, otherwise, the calculations, say, for latitude, longitude, latitude, longitude of all the cities, of the Dasha calculations, Sri Jyoti star is better. Jagannath Hora of the later versions of the last few years, completely wrong Dasha calculation. Including Narayan Dasha calculation is wrong. We in Gemini just, you know, in class, we just calculate by hand. The whole Narayan Dasha calculation is wrong over there. Calculation of Dashas are wrong. So many latitude longitudes are wrong. That is the thing. It's just that it's very user friendly and we are used to using it, so we use it. Yeah. Guruji uses Sri Jyoti star a lot. Hugely he uses Sri Jyoti star. Sometimes he uses, just for some things he uses. Dasha stuffs are very, it's all, and the latter versions, all the, right from 6, you know, 8.6, whatever version, all the versions are crazy. Why 8.6? I would say from 8.54 it has become crazy. No, 7.1 is now, I'm talking about this last 3-4 years. A few years it's become crazy. We cannot rely on the dashas. Take it with a pinch of salt. So as you go in advance, you don't rely on the software, it's in the hands. But the problem is when you're learning multiple dashas and there are 40 dashas you learn, what do? You need the software. You can't be sitting and calculating all the dashas with your hand. But some specialized dashas, we all double check. Ask her, she's a Gemini scholar. We all double check. Okay, so I think we have covered this. So now we go on to the third part. Would you like a little break?
No.
What's the time? Because
it's 9 o'clock.
Huh, so the you want to break now or
it's up to you.
We can go on.
We can have
half
a 10 minute break, just, you know.
Yeah, if you want to walk around
just
for 5-10 minutes and come back,
you
can do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll be back in 10 minutes. I'm here.